With Secretary of State Rex Tillerson out and CIA head Mike Pompeo ready to take his place, Gina Haspel is poised to be the first female director of the CIA. That is, if she passes Senate confirmation. Trump already made her the first female deputy director of the CIA last year. And then, as now, she provokes some strong opinions. Greg Miller is a national security correspondent for The Washington Post. Unlike her predecessor, Greg, Gina Haspel has a ton of experience in the CIA, 30 years, including leadership roles. She's earned friends. She's also earned some enemies. Can you just talk about how she's viewed by all sides?
You're right. I mean, she's a career person, the first career person in quite a long time to ascend directly into the directorship, if she's confirmed. That hasn't happened in many, many years. John Brennan, who was the CIA director under Obama, had spent much of his career at the agency, but he was coming from the White House when he took that top job. Gina has never really left the agency. She's been there that entire time, and she has a really high level of support among the workforce there. That said, her very deep connections to the agency's use of so-called enhanced interrogations or torture in the aftermath of the September 11 attacks are really problematic for human rights groups, for many members of Congress. The fact that she is even getting this nomination now, however, I think suggests that the sort of intensity of that opposition has waned, and that's happening for a couple reasons.
Yeah, what are those reasons?
Well, one of them is, I think, that partly time has passed, and so that issue has faded into the background, not for everybody, but for some. The other is, though, the sort of political reality of this administration, where there have been other names that have been floated to be potential CIA directors in the Trump administration who were really hardline, right-wing sort of political types, including Senator Tom Cotton. And so I think even many Democrats on the Hill would rather see a career person like Gina Haspel in that CIA job than somebody like Tom Cotton.
So Haspel already plays an important role in the agency as its deputy director. How would her bump up to the top change her day-to-day activities and the operation of the whole agency?
I think one thing it will mean for her is a lot more time at the White House, a lot more interaction with the president.
Well, Trump said yesterday, the quote was, she is an outstanding person who also I have gotten to know very well, but she's not Mike Pompeo, who's seen as a real Trump loyalist. Do you think Haspel will maintain the distance needed to keep the CIA independent without herself getting fired?
I think that accounts to a large measure for the support that she's gotten from current and former agency people following this nomination. I mean, former directors lined up to praise her yesterday. And I think that's largely because they believe she will be better at that than Pompeo has been.
What are the chances she'll get blocked in the Senate? Because we know John McCain, who opposes torture, has been critical of Haspel's nomination. Are there enough GOPs like him to block her nomination?
I don't think so, unless something new surfaces. I don't think there's much GOP opposition. I think she will face tough questions. Senator McCain, of course, among those who is most concerned about her connections to the agency's interrogation program. But of course, he's not on the Senate Intelligence Committee, which handles her nomination. Mm. There are definitely Democrats who stepped forward yesterday and said they're going to oppose her nomination. But even Senator Feinstein, who led the Senate Intelligence Committee's investigation of the CIA interrogation program, issued a sort of non-committal statement yesterday suggesting that she's willing to listen or hear out Haspel as a candidate, not oppose her from the outset.
Greg Miller is a national security correspondent with The Washington Post. Thanks very much for your time, Greg.
Sure, thanks.
Let's hear now from someone who was there when Gina Haspel was involved with CIA dark sites and so-called enhanced interrogation techniques, which a lot of people have called torture. John Radzin served as CIA Assistant General Counsel from 2002 to 2004. He now teaches at the Mitchell Hamlin School of Law in St. Paul, Minnesota. I asked him to clarify Haspel's role back then.
Marco, I can't rely on my work to tell you what she did. I'll rely on the public record. From the public record, it seems that she had a senior role in one of these secret sites. The reporting says that she was involved in the supervision of some of these enhanced interrogations, these harsh interrogations. She also, during that time period, would have played a role in some of the renditions, the transfers of terrorism suspects from points outside the United States to other points, to other countries.
So the secret site I've read was in Thailand. Do we know how many suspects she was involved in terms of interrogation?
when we talk about their interrogation, and one site is mentioned, there were two interrogations that were done. The use of the waterboard has been reported in many areas. One of the suspects was subjected to the waterboard 83 times. Another suspect, according to the public reports, was subjected to the waterboard 3 times.
Yeah, so 83 times waterboarded. That suspect was Abu Zubaydah. Was what happened to him in that enhanced interrogation, in those sessions, was it deemed legal at the time, or did it go beyond what was allowed in an interrogation?
Those sessions seem to have fallen within the parameters at the time. There were some other interrogation tactics. This has come out in the Inspector General report from the CIA that went beyond it. But what should be clear about the main part of this program is that this was presidentially approved. This had President Bush's approval, the vice president's approval, Director Tenet's approval. So whatever Gina Haspel was doing, she was doing in line with all these approvals. This was not something that Gina Haspel was doing on her own. This was not some rogue operation.
So one thing that there's been a lot of reporting on is destruction of tapes of interrogations that apparently Haspel oversaw. How problematic do you see that?
Of all the things that have been mentioned about her nomination, that's probably the most troubling to me. I'm not saying that this necessarily disqualifies her, but it's something that goes counter to the chain of command and perhaps the rule of law. What happened is that those tapes were ordered destroyed. That was from headquarters. The reporting is that Gina Haspel had some role in that. As I followed it, I was out of the CIA at that time. It seems that those orders went contrary to the instructions from the chief lawyer at the CIA, the general counsel, John Rizzo, or the acting general counsel. Haspel has not been reprimanded since then. There was a criminal investigation. There was an inspector general investigation about this. She was not reprimanded in any of those areas. But I think this decision, and maybe she's going to say that she was following orders on that, that decision seems to go counter to the kind of checks that we have in the CIA, the lawyers, the inspector general office, that is making sure that the operations are consistent with the ability to do oversight in Congress or the ability to check these activities in courts or other places. So I imagine that that will be another area where many questions will be asked to Gina Haspel.
And we all know how well the "I was just following orders" defense goes.
It doesn't go that well at times.
Clearly, a lot to process as Gina Haspel heads into her confirmation hearings for head of Central Intelligence. We'll leave it there today. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios here at WGBH in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. We'll see you back here tomorrow.